Hey guys, I'm Nida and you're listening to Underground. So this show is about all kinds of electronic underground music, and the reason I really started this show is because recently I made a track and I sent it out to a bunch of artists that I look up to for feedback, and I was surprised because a lot of them actually took time to listen to it and they got back to me. And I realized there were little things that they mentioned that I hadn't even noticed when I was making the track, like I'd missed out on the little things. And then I did the obvious next thing. The internet. There's just so many different ways to do one little thing, and then you can just get confusing, like, which is the right kind for me? What should I be doing? And so I thought, why not get in touch with artists from around the world and take 20 minutes of their time to just talk about their processes, like what they do when they sit down and make their music. Do they have any challenges? Where do they get stuck? What are the DJing techniques they follow? What were their personal struggles and what is their journey like? So today I have an incredibly talented artist from Argentina. He started producing when he was very young and his productions are widely played in Argentinian clubs. Not just an artist, he's also an owner of the record label Venture Records. I give you Kevin Van Reken. Hey Kevin, how's it going?
I'm fine. We both know we have this big problem of the corona. So it's a little bit difficult to stay creative, to stay productive every day, but I think in general it's okay.
So have you guys started any sort of parties and like has the night?
Oh no! Winter is starting right now, so we are really in the worst part of the virus. So here in Argentina specifically, it's not so bad because we are doing quarantine since March. Mm-hmm. So the president here is really he really thinks in health. So on that side it's okay because it's not so bad. But on the other side, we the people who work with music and DJ and parties, mm-hmm. We're the most affected. So we were the first ones to stop working, and we're gonna be the last ones to start working. So it's a little bit of a problem, but. We can't do another thing but wait.
Right. Okay. So, speaking of music, I read that you started producing when you were as young as 12 years old. So, what was that like?
Yeah, I really loved music since I was a little kid. I grew up in the Netherlands. I'm from the Netherlands, and my mother is from Argentina. So. Yeah, since I was young, I had the two musical cultures, the European music, the electronic music, and on the other side, all the Latin music from my mother. Mm-hmm. So I really grew up with a lot of cultural background. You know, I didn't stay only with electronic or only with Latin music. I was very influenced with a lot of genres always, so... Since I was very young, I really loved music, and I started with bongos or percussion instruments. Yeah, and that's when I really found out that I wanted to do something with that, you know. And that was when I was 7-8 years old, so I was very young. And when I was 12, and the cousin of a friend showed me this program. There was a GarageBand on the Mac, you know, the Apple.
Yeah.
And he showed me you can do this and that and this and that. And I was really, really emotional. I was really surprised with what I could do with only a computer, you know. And I was really excited about it. And as soon as I came home, I wanted to try it myself. So I began looking for programs, and I found this program called Mixcraft, and I downloaded it. And yeah, the first years, you know, were very bad with music because there weren't any tutorials or all this stuff you have right now to learn how to produce or to make music. At that time, there wasn't any of that, so it was really, self-thought, you know. I really wanted to learn, so 4 years, I think, or 5 years, where me trying to learn with no help, you know. So it was long, but I think that nowadays it really helped me to be self-taught with all, with music and with programs and with software. And it really happened. I didn't think about living of music or producing or DJing. That came after, but at the beginning it was only for the love of making music myself, you know, using a software to make it. So that was kind of the beginning.
Okay, so what kind of challenges did you face? Like, did you get stuck? Like, what was like something that, yeah, like, because I think most of us struggle with that. Like, you get stuck and then usually your mistakes have like a pattern, or like, yes, it's something that you always have a tough time with. So is that something that you've...
Yes, and I still face it. I think my biggest problem is to find my genre, because since I began to nowadays, I really passed through a lot of genres. I passed to trance music, techno music, tech house music. I enjoy right now melodic techno music, and I was a moment where I did reggaeton music. This is only Latin music. So I think the struggle was to find my the sound that I most liked, you know, because I like them all, but maybe I'm producing for a few months or a year, I'm producing only techno. But then I go to a tech house party, or I hear tech house, and I think, yeah, I really like it. And then I come home and I want to produce that. And so it's always changing. So that's my biggest struggle, you know, to find my genre and to stick with only one. But I'm getting more used to think that that's not the solution, you know, to stick only with one. So I want to, maybe in a DJ set, I want to play more than one genre, or I want to produce more than one genre. So it's a little bit difficult because of the people who know me, that if they look for a song, that they know that it's techno or that it's tech house. So, you know, it's a mess, but yeah. And when I'm producing, I think the biggest struggle is to, you know, you always use a reference track. You pick a track from someone you like, and you want to maybe copy that, but only copy not the sound, but the beat. Yeah, the structure or the beats. Yeah. When I was younger, I really struggled maybe finding the way to make certain things. And yeah, I really was frustrated, but that was because there was no tutorials and stuff to learn. So
right.
It came all together. But I think that's the biggest struggle, is to find that genre that I really want to work with, you know.
So when you are producing something, do you have any specific plugins or effects or something that you always end up using, like some of your...
Yes. I really only use Nexus plugin and uh-huh. Serum. Those are the two that I most use, because I think Nexus, I love the bass sounds and maybe some pads that you can use. But in Serum, I love Serum because you can really make your own instrument. You know, you have this synth and you can change it so much that it can become a piano, you know, or a whole different sound. So that's what I love about Serum. You can really work with the sounds more deeply, and you can really achieve what you want when you hear it, you know. So Serum and Nexus are the most used. And effects, yeah, a lot of FAB filter, or, you know, the plugins that everyone use. But it's a lot of multiband plugins or FAB filter. I use almost all of FAB filter plugins, but FAB filter is the only thing I use always, you know. And maybe I use for mastering or stuff, I use the Glue compressor. I don't know if you know it, but there are a lot of compressors, but that one specifically I really like because of how it sounds at the end. So those are the the things that I use.
So I actually heard your track Crystal Souls and Hidden Voices that I absolutely love, by the way.
Thank you.
So I realized that most of these tracks have like this really great sense of percussion, and they have like great synths, and they like blend so seamlessly. So when you're working on a track like that, like, or rather on these two, what did you start with? Like, do you start with your percussions, or do you start with the melody?
Yeah, it really depends, but mostly what I do is I take a loop of 16
bars.
Bars, yeah, sorry. I that's other thing I learned to tell you. But I loop that, and I really begin with the percussion. Maybe I do a kick, and then I begin to add certain things. And maybe at the beginning, I really don't know what genre it's going to be, because I really go with the flow with that. You know, I really start adding things, sounds that I like. Maybe I had a bad or a little melody at the beginning, but in Crystal Souls, I did that. I began to really put together different types of percussions. And once I got to a point that I really liked how it sounds, that's when I began to add the bass lines or synths or pads or whatever. I really begin with a loop where I start adding things, and when I really like how it sounds and I know that I can make a whole song from it, I start to make the rest of it.
Also, like when you're making music, say you finished with a track, but somehow it has like spaces where it sounds static and you want to add movement to it, what do you do?
Yeah, I really do something that I shouldn't do, but I do it anyways. That is, I do the pre-master, you know, and maybe the pre-master don't sound really how I want it to sound. So I go to the master project, and on the master project with all the plugins that I use for mastering on, I really start adding things to the pre-master. But once I am on master project, I know that I shouldn't do it, because maybe you can add a hi-hat or a clap or a vocal, and it can really, if you overlay it on the other stems that you use for in the pre-master, maybe it can sound harder, or it can make it sound bad. I work on the master project adding things like it's pre-master. That is my error, but at the same time, it's what I use to make it sound better, because all the plugins that I use for master on, I can really hear how it is going to sound at the end, you know?
Right. So with the kind of journey that you've had so far, what would you say to somebody who's just about starting out?
Yeah. That if they like it, if they really get to that point where you have to decide to go with the music or go with your study or job or whatever, that you don't hesitate at that moment, because I really think that the thing that is most important is the time, you know, the time that you spend on the music, on the projects, on learning, and on the DJing as well. So I really think that when they come to the point where they have to decide that they really give music a chance, and that they don't stay in that thought of guilt, so that they shouldn't leave a study or shouldn't leave a work. I don't say that studying is wrong, but I really think that once you get in this world of music and DJing and traveling and producing, you're doing it because you really, really love it, and that there is no time to do other things. You know, I shouldn't be able to make music and DJ while I'm working in an office or traveling or studying, you know. So I really think that people that are starting, that if they choose to begin with music, that they really do it, and that they stay focused only on what they wanted to do. If they want to be a great DJ, that they practice every day, and if they want to be a great producer, that they always learn. And that's what I think that's very good right now, that everyone can learn you have a lot of tutorials, you have a lot of information out there that, when I started, there wasn't anything of that. So they must take advantage of it. And that's my advice.
Thank you so much for coming on the show and helping us with your tips and tricks about production.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so that was Kevin Van Reeken. And you can find his DJ set for this podcast on my SoundCloud page at the rate Nida Chakraborty. I'll be back next week. And until then, if you guys have any sort of questions that you would like me to ask the guests, please feel free to send me a voice message. You can do that by clicking on the link below.